In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated, won't you? Well, I have been at this preaching gig sort of long enough to be a little bit dangerous to myself. I sort of just know enough about it to, you know, start on it. And one of the things that I've learned in the years that I've started out doing this, so when I'm preparing for a sermon and an idea keeps coming back to me and coming back to me and sticking in my mind, I usually need to pay attention to it and figure out why it's doing that. And so it's with as much humility as I can muster that I tell you that today I'd like to suggest that God in some ways is like William Shatner. Now bear with me. I was thinking about this journey that Jesus sends people on, this lesson from the gospel, this sort of wonderful little commissioning. We kind of have the story of the church told very briefly in this gospel lesson from Luke. Jesus sends them out and has them take with them nothing at all except the story. And then they sort of come back, and they're excited about how powerful they've become. And Jesus says, "Well, okay, that's true. You know, they're not. You know, demons can't hurt you anymore. But that's not the point. The point is that the kingdom is coming, and that your names have been written in it." Kind of a whole history of all creation in a little story about Jesus and some early disciples. So I want to start us off by inviting you to imagine that you're part of this group of 70 who are asked to do this. You're surrounded by some people. Maybe you know some of them pretty well and some of them not as well. But you and a partner are told, go out, be part of this 70. Don't take anything with you. And go knock on doors, stand in marketplaces, seek the hospitality of foreign towns, stay in their houses, and share with them the story that we have. Now, I don't know how many of us would take that at face value and be able to do it. I know that if it were me, I'd probably pack a bag just in case. These days, we're not going anywhere without smartphones, right? You want that map, you want that lifeline, you want access to the internet to sort of bail you out. But it must have been just as anxious 2,000 years ago as people were doing this. Even though they had a different world than we have, even though they sort of had this hospitality culture that they could rely on, if you went to a foreign place, people were supposed to take you in. They were supposed to feed you. They were supposed to help you wash your feet off. And they were supposed to sort of make you welcome and receive you as a guest and protect you as a guest until you went on your way. So if they failed to do that, there's sort of a reason to, you know, kick the dust off your feet and say, you know, I'm done with this town, but know that the kingdom's coming anyway. But even so, it must have been anxious to sort of walk away from what you knew and towards what you didn't know. I think that's a journey that we take in our lives, whether we want to or not, over and over again. That calling out of the familiar into the unknown can happen in big ways and little ways. I mean, every day you wake up, it might happen, just in the course of little accidents that happen through your day, the sort of unforeseen things that break in and change the agenda from what you were expecting. It can happen in big ways in the sort of stories of our relationships, right? I remember somebody telling me about marriage once, that you sort of marry one person, you wake up the next day next to somebody else, and if you're lucky, you like both of them. But even our relationships, these sort of wonderful, holy, bedrock parts of our lives are changing, and they take us places that are unknown. They take us to places we didn't see before. They take us to places where we might not have the roadmap, even with all of the technology and intelligence of our smartphones. And that is where William Shatner came in for me today. Because there's one of the Star Trek movies, and most of them are terrible, and I don't blame you if you haven't seen them. But there's a movie where they sort of try to bridge the two big Star Trek series, and it's got Captain Kirk and Captain Picard, and they kind of put them on stage together. So, I mean, it's worth watching just to see William Shatner and Patrick Stewart acting in a scene together. And if you're not a Star Trek person, I'll explain it. So the first thing that happens in the movie is you sort of see that Captain Kirk has been made an admiral, and now he's sort of doing a dignitaries political tour on the new Enterprise with its new young captain, and they're just sort of going to fly around and wave and, you know, the ship's not even quite done, and off they go just to sort of fly the colors. And instead, of course, they run into trouble. And you kind of watch as Admiral Kirk now is sort of sitting on his chair, muttering to himself about what they ought to be doing. And Scotty finally turns to him and says, "Is there something wrong with your chair, Captain?" And he's sitting there, and he's anxious, and he's antsy, and he knows that he has to let the captain try it his own way. And finally, the new captain, who is played by Ferris Bueller's friend from that movie, who's starting to sweat and things are going terribly, and he finally turns and sort of very formally says, "I'd appreciate any advice that you have, Admiral." And in that moment, everything changes. Kirk sweeps in and gets people organized, and all of a sudden they've got a fighting chance. All of a sudden there's sort of a step that can lead to a next step, and they might have a way out of this problem. And the movie goes from there. That, to me, is an image of how God meets us on these unexpected journeys. It's not that we're ever alone, no matter how new to it we feel, no matter how much we feel the responsibility of what we're supposed to be doing, no matter how much we feel like we've been called to be the captain of the ship and exploring the stars or doing whatever we've thought we set out to do, when those unforeseen moments, those unforeseen opportunities or chances or obstacles or problems come up, I think sometimes the move that we forget about is turning to God, who's sitting there anxious for us. The move that we forget is simply asking to be guided by the one who wants to guide us. If we were those 70 people sent out in pairs by Jesus, it might feel like we'd left that behind wherever Jesus was. But of course, God was with them. Of course, the Spirit was acting in them whenever they healed somebody or cast out a demon or even just told the story. I think it's telling that the one thing they do take with them is the story. The story that God has come to us, God has chosen to be with us, God has become a human being alongside us to know us and tell us about his love in a way that we'll feel and understand on a human level. I think it's telling that's the one tool that is supposed to get us through these unknowable journeys. It's just telling the story over and over again, letting people know the kingdom is come near. And where we tell that and where it's planted and well-received, the church started growing. These communities of faith started growing. We started to have a community that was broadening and broadening and broadening. The number 70 is important, of course. 7 is sort of the number of perfection in ancient writings, and 10 meant a lot. So 70 is sort of a lot of perfection, overwhelming perfection, the glory of the world to come. 70 is also the number of nations that they thought they were. So this is sort of the story going out everywhere. The story of God's love spreading anywhere you can take it. Wherever you are in your journey, telling it there and seeing how that can change the world. It's a wonderful thing to be called into that journey not because it makes us powerful, not because we're able to cast demons out, but because it really is the work of heaven. And there really is a world better than the one we see and know. For all the good in it, there is one that has more glory and greater possibility. There is one where we serve one another, where we serve God and serve our neighbors in surpassing love and healing and reconciliation, truth and mercy and joy all over the place. That's what we're being called to look for over and over again. And that is, I think, if you'll pardon the metaphor, what God is sort of sitting in the corner waiting to tell us about, if we only know how to turn and ask. So whatever journey or journeys you find yourself on this day or this week or this year, I hope you remember to take that time now and then to glance in the corner and see if God isn't nodding or winking at you with a little bit of extra insight, reminding you of something you've already known, that you're loved and cared for and made holy and blessed, and showing you how that works in what you're going through right now. Maybe you're being called to hear that message. Maybe you're being called to remind someone of that message or to share it out from yourself. But wherever you are, keep your eyes open, because God will surely meet you there. In Jesus' name, amen.